News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Autism Pensacola.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620, if you'd like to talk to our guests today. In the studio, we have Mary McClellan, Executive Director of Autism Pensacola, and Mike White, who is an insurance agent with Torgerson Causey. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a mouthful. It's a mouthful. I get a lot of flack from my bosses, too, trying to pronounce it, but... Yeah.
Okay. So. Wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you both for being here today.
Absolutely.
Mike is also on our board of directors too. So I try to bring him to as much stuff because he's really great with spreading the word of what we do. So yeah.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about Autism Pensacola for those who maybe don't know as much.
Well, our primary mission is to serve as a resource center for children and families affected by autism in the Gulf Coast area. We serve five counties, Baldwin, Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton. Mm. Most of our work is in Escambia and Santa Rosa. Mm-hmm. And we basically offer programs and services as well. And just have a lot of fun doing it. And we have a great board, very supportive board, and they're active. And it's just a great organization.
Wonderful. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the support that you offer families who have a child with autism.
Sure. And I'm going to touch on a couple of these programs a little more
sure.
in depth. But the main one that I want to talk about is we have our Kids for Camp. That's a five-week summer camp during the summer, obviously, for June and July. And it's for children with autism, and it kind of gives them the summer camp experience that their neurotypical peers are experiencing, helps them with social skills and to find kind of keep the skills that they're learning throughout the school year, keeps them fresh so that they don't lose the gains that they've made. Mm-hmm. So it's a great camp. This year we had 52, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And it stays pretty steady right in there. So that's one of our programs. And then Project Lifesaver is the one that I'm really pushing right now because that's a program, a partnership with Escambia Search and Rescue. And it is a program where the child who wanders, because 50% of children with autism will wander at some point during their childhood and get lost. You hear about children who have wandered off and drowned. Mm-hmm. 90% of children who drown under the age of 14, 90% of those have autism.
Mm.
They leave a place of safety. They have no regard for danger or consequences. Mm-hmm. They don't even think about the people they've left at home who are freaking out, you know, trying to find them. And so this is a bracelet that's worn 24/7. And it is not a GPS tracker, but it is a transmitter. So if the child goes missing, the parent calls Escambia Search and Rescue immediately. And no waiting like you do, you know, missing persons. Although with children, there is no waiting period with the police department. But that the Escambia Search and Rescue puts a signal out, finds the child within a matter of minutes. And in our area, the program has a 100% success rate.
Mm.
It's a free program for families. We try to keep it free. And the way to do that is to raise money through events like we're having this weekend.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And I know that families that are going through, again, the autism situation, if you want to call it that, certainly want to be networked with other families and look to them for support as well. So tell me how important it is for families to network with each other.
Absolutely. Well, we do have families network quite a bit through the camp. That's mm-hmm. one thing. We also have family picnics a couple times a year. They network at the event like we're having this weekend. This is more than just a fundraiser. It's also a social event.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's free to the entire community, but our families form teams, and so they come and join together, and they have a great time. Mike's been to it a couple mm-hmm. times.
That's
yeah.
wonderful. Yeah, it's free to the community, so honestly, I wouldn't even think about it as a way for families of autism to network, but more so a way for the community to get engaged with the autism community, just because mm-hmm. there is a lot of stigma surrounding it. I think it's a great way for people to come out and really educate themselves on, you know, the truth about autism, that, you know, it means they're different, but they're not less. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that's most important for people to know. So I think it's a great opportunity for people to come out and really get themselves connected with the community even further than they already are.
Absolutely. And it's fun. We have all kinds of kids activities. Oh, yeah. And I think this year we have 15 different booths. Mm-hmm. And each booth has a different activity. We have music. We have a kids zone in the middle with a bouncy house and a slide. And, you know, it's just a really fun event.
Oh, yeah. So if you're already planning on getting your steps in, just come out and talk with some families and get your steps in at the same time. Yeah.
And do know that this is not a 5K, so you don't have to
be
training for this thing.
You're not trying to beat any times. You're not trying to beat anybody. We're all just walking and having a great time.
That's what you say, Mike. I'm ready to beat some times. No, I'm not.
Just your board of directors, right?
Yeah, the board. And the board's been great this year. They've actually formed their own team, which is awesome. And because I was pushing them, you guys need to have your own team, your individual teams in this thing. And they're like, why don't we form one? Yeah. And it's worked out really well. They're really having a lot of fun with it. They're going to do a pirate-themed booth, and it's going to be awesome.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So Mary McClellan, Executive Director of Autism Pensacola, our guest also in the studio is Mike White from Torgerson and Causey. If you have any questions for them, 850-437-1620. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. So we're talking about Steps for Autism, which is going to be September 14th. What time is the event?
It's this Saturday from 10 to 1. And it is open, free to the public. We will have Sonny's Barbecue. We'll have Eldon Scott there.
Nice.
Hopefully he brings his schooler. I really want to ride that thing. He'll definitely have his fringe on, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So we'll have Sonny's, and we'll have the Tiki, the Sneaky Tiki booth as well. And lots of activities, I said, music. And, it'll be really fun.
And all the funds raised stay local.
Our funds are 100% local. We do not, at this current time, get any government funding of any sort. So everything that we do, we raise the money locally. It's through grants and contributions and stuff. This fundraiser, the teams raise money. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have some sponsors. But for the most part, I mean, for 100% of our funding goes right here in the local area to, you know, fun things like Project Lifesaver, to keep it free for families, to keep the tuition lower for our Kids for Camp program, and things like that. So
okay. So for people interested in putting together teams, how big can a team be? How do they register? What's the cost?
Team can be as big as they want. There is no cost to have a team. And you don't actually have to have, you know, a bunch of team members, but you can donate to a team as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really the team aspect is really just a way for families to share their own personal story with people.
Mm-hmm.
There are some families who get a specific diagnosis as far as autism, because again, it is a spectrum. You're going to have people on one end who are high functioning, and then on the other end who are low functioning. There's a lot of people who fall in the middle. So I think the team aspect of it really allows people to connect deeper, because for those that are receiving a autism diagnosis for the first time, it allows them to really find a place where they connect. Somebody who's going through something similar to what they're going through, whether it is a high functioning or low functioning diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. And this is a fundraiser to support Autism Pensacola. So talk to me a little bit about different ways people can fundraise to support the cause.
Well, let's see. We have, there's a number of things. We have our own fundraisers, obviously. And we have one coming up after Steps, our bingo with your besties. This is our fourth one, and it'll be on Monday night, October 7th. And those tickets will be live tomorrow afternoon for the general public. We do our gala, and we have our, what else do we do? Sensory Street.
Yep.
That's another community event we have, and it's in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 3-day event downtown, and it's free to the public as well. Anything that people can think of that, you know, community members want to raise money, whether it be a community spirit night. We have Restaurant Iron does a special drink for us, and they're doing it for the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pilot Club has, you know, their little fundraisers. We got, there was a kid at UWF who came in the other day and just handed us a $1,500 check and said, I just did a little, you know, fraternity fundraiser.
Oh, wow.
And here's the proceeds,
yeah.
You know. And we do have a lot of kids. We're on the UWF, kind of on the campus in Argo Village.
Mm.
And so we do have a lot of, you know, of kids from UWF that are involved with us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anything you can think of helps us.
Mm-hmm.
The Pensacola Jeeps does a fundraiser for us every year. And this year, I believe it raised around $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
The Frank Brown International Film Songwriters Festival in Orange Beach at mm-hmm. the Floribama. They do a fundraiser for us, and it can be anywhere between $15,000 and $25,000.
Oh, wonderful.
I know. They do a great job over mm-hmm. there. I'm going to a meeting there this evening, and so we're going to talk about the event on November 12th at the Floribama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's another thing, too, is as far as the diagnosis numbers go, right now I think it's like 1 in 36.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a very good chance that you or someone you know somebody with autism, which means that there are ways – you know, for us to partner with local agencies, local organizations, local events, for us to be able to raise those funds. So if it's something that you feel inclined to get involved with, let us know and we'll find a way to get involved with you for sure.
We can get creative.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And we're open to anything. Yeah. You know, within reason, we're open to pretty much anything.
So for the STEPS event, is there still sponsorship opportunity available?
Absolutely. They can call me. I haven't even gotten the final artwork back for the back of the shirt, so I can still add you on. I think I did a special deal where if a sponsor came in at $500, I'd put their logo on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they just need to call me. They can go to the website or they can text or email me at director@autismpensacola.org.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit more about the booths that are going to be there, the vendors, what kind of activities are going to be there for families.
So we're going to have the board is doing a pirate theme, and they're going to do a walk the plank. And they're also bringing in a bunch of baby pools with sand, and they're going to dig for treasure and stuff.
Mm.
We have Florida Blue is coming. We have the Applied Behavior Analysis group coming. Just about, I mean, we've got 15 of them, and unfortunately I left my list, but they all have kids' activities from cornhole to there's face painting from the crew to Yaya's. We have, you know, the Connect Four. We have different yard games going on, coloring, just lots of crafts.
Yeah, and then the walk, of course. I mean, at one point, everybody, you know, gets on the track and walk, and it's more like a parade. Again, it's not like a 5K. Nobody's really running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you're running, you're probably an outcast at that point. But, no, I'm kidding. You can run if you want to, but it's more like a parade. It gives everybody an opportunity to still kind of be connected and still have those conversations, but also walk. So.
Yeah, I call it a ceremonial lap. Mm-hmm. You know, the families all walk together. Some of them have a banner, you know, with their team name on it.
Yep.
And that is something I want to bring back. I want to wrap around. So one of our families that has been doing this for a couple of years, the little boy was two when he was diagnosed, and or just under two, I think, right? He was little.
I think so.
Uh-huh. And they started coming to this walk that year shortly after he was diagnosed, and their team is walking with Levi. Well, I don't know if you remember, but in March 23rd, Levi was in his backyard with his family at a birthday party, a barbecue. He got out of the backyard over the fence, and he went out onto Blue Angel Parkway and was hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's mm-hmm. three. He was three.
Yeah, he was three.
Yeah, when he was hit, when he passed away. And so what we've done is we've taken this year's Steps for Autism, and we are dedicating it to walking with Levi mm-hmm. to their team, and they will be there. They have been wonderful. They've turned their grief into a positive thing mm-hmm. Called Levi's Purpose, mm-hmm. and what they do is provide safety-type assets for families who have just been diagnosed with autism, such as fences and alarm companies and locks and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've really taken their grief and turned it into something really positive. And I'm just so thrilled with them, because a lot of times once the initial shock is over, there's a lot of ideas like, oh, we're going to make this, you know,
yep.
they've actually done it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've opened a nonprofit and everything. So, yeah, it's been a really... So we're dedicating it to him this year.
That's a great way to remember him. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So is the event looking for volunteers?
Oh, yes. we love our volunteers. And if they just go to our website, I have links to... If somebody wants to be a vendor, we can still take the vendors if they want to set up a booth there. I just got a call a little while ago. So I just sent them to the vendor form, and they can do that. They can volunteer. They can contact me for a sponsorship if they want. Now, the art's probably going to be finished today, but I can drop another logo or two or three in there if they want.
Mm-hmm.
So everything they need is on our website.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Anything else that they need to know about the event?
The rain plan is we will take it over to Marcus Point Baptist Church. So we do have a plan B.
Okay. Well,
there you go.
Yeah. It's going to be a little cramped, but we'll have some under the outside. There's an awning area, I guess, something like that. They've told me. And then inside there's a really large gym.
Okay.
So we're going to do it that way.
Wonderful. So let's circle back to Kids for Camp. What age group is served by Kids for Camp?
Ages 5 to 25.
Okay.
And the older kids have been there, in some cases, since it began. It began in 2003. It started in the backyard of one of the moms, Judy Burns. She was the executive director for Ronald McDonald House for a long, long time. And she passed away in March of 22. So... we do an award every year for the camp teacher that best embodies, you know, what her passion and dedication. But it started in her backyard. And so that's how it started. And they have to apply during the month of February. And tuition is based on a sliding scale. So everybody has to put a little skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's doable. And we give them lots of ideas and hold their hand as far as, here's some great fundraising ideas, you know, bake sale, car wash, do a spirit night at Sunny's, you know, things like that.
Yeah. So in looking at the website about this, it looks like there is financial aid available.
Yes. And that's what comes in when we have four different levels of tuition. So based on the federal poverty guidelines and the size of your family and income.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so where is the camp? Where is it held?
Well, it's the older kids, 10 and up or 11 and up, are held over at Washington High School. And then that campus. And then the younger kids, 5 to 10, are over. This year they were at Scenic Heights. They're usually at Home Elementary, but they had some stuff going on there, so we couldn't do it there. But Scenic Heights worked out great.
Yeah.
So, well, we have a partnership with the Escambia County School System, and they help us
with
all of that. Yep.
Yeah. So what is the what's the program like? What can families expect? What can the kids expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity for kids to, you know, like Mary said earlier, to really capitalize on the things that they're learning in their therapies. I mean, I myself didn't even get a chance to really even say it. But so when I was young, my official diagnosis was 2. But when I was 6 months, my mom recognized something in me and received my official autism diagnosis at 2. Had all the therapies and things of that nature, but if something like this was available, you know, this would have been huge for me.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a way for me to continue to capitalize, you know, throughout the summer on a way for me to really build on the things that I'm learning. Speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, things of that nature. So it's a really great chance for families to not only allow their children to continue to develop, but also to surround them with kids that are just like themselves so they don't feel different or too different. Because, again, it's about being different but not less. So really just allowing them to grow in an area that allows them to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and so some of the things we do is we take field trips, and that's the bus from the Escambia County School District comes and picks them up and takes them to the planetarium or to the movie theater or bowling. And then we have traveling exhibits come in, like the reptiles, and the sheriff's office brings their horses and their posse. So we have all kinds of different activities. They have water days. They have swim days at the Washington pool. It's just like a regular, you know, typical summer camp, but it's for children with autism. And we do hire just special education teachers from the school district, Santa Rosa, Baldwin County and Escambia. Mm-hmm. So they are in very good hands.
Yeah. And again, those teachers, they get the summer off technically. They get a chance to really just kind of relax. But for those teachers who are dedicating their time and their efforts to really making sure that these kids continue to develop over the summer, don't have any lapse in that development, mm-hmm. it truly is a testament to how much of the backbone they are to that camp. So we really appreciate them. They're wonderful.
Yeah. And then we also have college students who mm-hmm. come. And they're in the fields of study that are related to autism or special needs. Yeah. And they're able to get a lot of hands-on experience, real life. And then we have teen volunteers. And they come from, you know, high schools, you have to have a certain number of volunteer hours. And so they come and they sign up for weeks, a week at a time. And if they sign up at the beginning, mm-hmm. they're pretty much there the whole, they keep re-upping. You know, they love mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
They absolutely love it. We've actually had a couple of teen volunteers who have done that, and then they've gone on to a field of study in college, and then come back and have been a teacher.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's impactful. It really is. And watching these kids grow in their understanding of autism and the way that they develop as adults, you know, young men and women who are really understanding that these people, while they are different, they're not, again, less than. I keep exaggerating that, but really it's important
mm-hmm.
because again, really it's super important for these kids to feel welcomed into their schools, into their communities. So watching these kids that are volunteering develop, you know, a soft spot, a heart for this community, it's really wonderful.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've heard a lot in the past from families that might have a child with disabilities is, you know, we don't focus so much on the disability. We focus on the ability.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just have different abilities.
Absolutely.
And so we try to highlight that, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and one thing whenever I'm doing and that's something I do as well, is go out in the community, and if you want a presentation related to autism, not long ago I did one at Corey Field for their little summer camp about bullying, and I did an activity with them, and they absolutely loved it, and I got some pretty good feedback, but I also will go to, you know, civic organizations like Rotary Civitan, or to companies and do a lunch and learn,
mm-hmm.
you know, employees in the workplace. Next week, I'm doing one for the athletic program at Pensacola State College. You're the leaders of the school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So show us how you treat people with differences so that everyone else will follow you because they look up to you, you know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, I've listened to the conversation here. So you have the Escambia County School District. You're working with the University of West Florida. You have some connections in the sheriff's office. Tell me about the importance of partnerships in the community.
I mean, again, you know, like Mary said, this, and I didn't even know that you were going to Pensacola State to talk to the athletes. I personally was a college athlete. I played at LaGrange College up in Georgia. And that was actually where my journey began as far as me really sharing my experience with autism. For the month of April, is it April or May that's Autism Awareness Month?
April,
yeah. The school had asked if anybody had any sort of connection to autism, and my mom found out about it, and my mom being my biggest advocate and the one that really got me to where I am today, she reached out to the school and was like, get my son, make him do it. I was just like, Mom, I really don't want to do it. I feel like an imposter because it's something I struggled with for a long time. You know, being as high functioning as I am, it kind of feels like imposter syndrome. You feel like you have no space or no reason to really be talking about it. It feels like your experience wasn't enough to justify being able to talk about it and be a voice about it. So I spoke to the school about it. And at that point I realized, you know, it really is important for people to realize that not all autism diagnoses are going to be low functioning. Some of them are. There's a good number of them are, but there's a lot of people that you'll meet in your day-to-day life that don't have, you know, that don't have a low functioning diagnosis. So I think it was important for us to really share that experience. And I think, you know, developing those relationships allows us to really expand our reach.
Mary McClellan from Autism Pensacola, our guest, and Mike White, thank you both for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.